Hello everyone, welcome to One Church Podcast. Stay tuned for our sermon of the week. Bye-bye.
We're excited for this new season and excited for what God's going to do. We want to thank John as well for leading us in worship, right? Yeah. No? You can. So as you guys know, John's living in Germany, North Germany now, Essen, and he's serving Mark's church, so Mark Schubert's church there. And yeah, he's part of our church since, I don't know when, 2016, yeah? He's from Rio de Janeiro, but he's almost German now. He's forgetting his Portuguese, just speaks in German now. That's it. So thank you, John. There's also like Enrique and Ana, they are with us. They're from São Paulo. And Alessandro as well. And Cristiane Chichi, she's with us. They are with us. They are from our church in São Paulo, Brazil. And they're spending 15 days with us. So we also honor them and want to bless you guys. Amen. Okay, so you can open your Bible now in 1 John chapter 3. We're going to keep studying the first letter of John. Are you guys enjoying this series of messages?
Yes.
I am enjoying. So I remember the first time that actually read the whole book of John, like the first letter of John, back, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. And honestly, as soon as I like finished the reading, I was weeping and like literally sobbing and asking God's forgiveness and like accepting Jesus again, like, Jesus, please save me, save me. So I know the impact that this letter has. Like, I know it because I've seen that in my life. So let's keep digging and diving into it, because I'm sure that God's gonna touch us. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Should I keep? I think I need the mic, right? Okay. It's just because I hate mics. Okay. Okay, so first of all, I just want to remember us and look back to what we have learned already. So first of all, are you guys happy yet? Can I go? Okay. First of all, Jesus is God. Amen. So Jesus is a divine man. He's God himself, the one that created all things, but incarnated as a man and saved us from sin. The teaching of the Apostle John is not new, but is old, and follows the teachings of the prophets and of Christ himself. John's message is God is light. Let us say it again. God is light. Amen. So God is light. The purpose of the message, communion. We need to remember that, because otherwise we're going to just keep pursuing this holy or this Christian behavior without understanding what is the purpose of it, which is communion with God and with our spiritual family, with our friends. Amen. Communion is when together we enjoy the same intimacy that the Trinity lives in itself. It is really important to remember that the pattern for everything we do in church is the Trinity itself, which is really like weird, because we as Christians, or we as people of God, we speak so little about the Trinity. Like, it's really rare when you see people actually teaching about the Trinity. It's almost like it's like, oh, it's a mystical thing. No, that's actually the foundation of our faith. We believe in the relation of God. We believe in a God that enjoys his presence since everlasting. So God is a family. That's why church should be a family, or must be a family. Okay. Are you guys with me yet? Okay. Jesus does not defend or innocent, does not call us good or worthy of forgiveness. The Lord saves us by grace, by the power of His own work on the cross. We need to remember that, that we have this friend, this lawyer before God the Father, and he's not before God the Father saying, God, forgive Ali, because Ali is a good man. Trust me, God. No, he's before the Father saying, yeah, Father, I know that Ali is guilty, but I've died for him. Amen. And one of the last things that we learned as well is the spirit of Antichrist and the imminence of Jesus returning was really part of the apostles' message, which means he was so aware that we are living the last hour that he was already teaching that the spirit of Antichrist, the one that will come, is already working and doing stuff even amongst the people of God. Is that making sense? So we do understand that from the incarnation to the second coming of the Son of Man, the church is called to live in the imminence of His return. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, are you guys happy, guys?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just reminding you because you have a weak mind, innit? Okay. Okay, so John, okay, let's keep going. So, and then John says, teach us that by the Spirit of God, we are saved from Antichrist heresy, which means the charismatic life, which means the life in the Spirit should be a priority in our lives. The anointing, the Spirit, is the protection and guidance we need. We need the life of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, so now 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, we're going to read it together. So, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what will be, we will be, has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sin. And in him there is no sin. No other who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Wow. It's so strong, honestly. So the first thing that we need to understand here now is that actually when we read in Portuguese or maybe all the languages as well, this word, see what kind of love, it's translated to our Portuguese Bible in see how great the love of God, see how big the love of God. But actually, see what kind of love of God is way more accurate than how great. Because when you go back to actually the meaning of the word, the meaning what John was trying to tell us is actually see how unique the love of God. See how how there's only one kind of love, which is God's love. Are you guys with me? So it's basically John saying, see, there's this kind of love that only God can feel or actually do for you, because God loved you so much that sent his only son to die for you. So basically John is saying, see, this kind of love, it's a unique love you're not going to find around. You're not going to see in other person. You're not going to see even in your wife or husband. See, this kind of love of God that makes you children of God. Wow. So it's amazing because John is very practical. Because like, do you remember in John 3:16 when he says, oh, there's the love of God. It's like he sent his son to save humanity and everything. So John is very practical here again, because he's saying there's a kind of love which is God's love, and it's so unique because now you are children of God. So he basically he's proven why God is so unique by giving you this answer. You now are children. You used to be forsake. You used to be sinner. You used to be a slave of sin, and now you are children of God. Are you guys with me? I just want to read this verse with you. You can just maybe do some notes, whatever. Romans 8, verse 17 says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, and heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So what is Paul saying to us? And we need to understand that when God himself calls us his children, he's not giving us a title. He's not just giving us like a new name or something. He's actually adopting us in the spirit. He's actually giving us a new nature, a new mindset, a new life. And not just only that, but he's saying, everything is mine, it's also yours. So let us read it again. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. It's not just an ordinary love. You cannot find it in me or in another person, which is amazing. Because at the same time that John is teaching us, like, you're going to experience communion with God when you experience communion with your sisters and brothers in church. But at the same time, John is saying, hey, but remember, there's a kind unique love that we experience just because of him. Are you guys with me? Okay. And there's one more thing which is amazing. John is saying there's one reason why the world does not understand you, because this era does not understand God himself. So that's one thing that we need to think, actually, how similar is your life to the ones that are not born again. I'm gonna do this question again. Are you guys happy? Yeah?
Yes. Okay.
When you look to your life, okay? When you look to your routine, when you look to everything you're doing, everything you're aiming for, when you think about it, how similar is your life to a mate of yours, of your job, to a friend of yours, from your school, to like someone that you know that he's not born again or she's not born again? How similar it is? Because if our life is really similar to the ones that are not born again, I mean, maybe we are not born again. Because John is saying that our life should not be understood by the world. They should look at us, and I'm not saying that you should be weird. I'm not saying that you should be like annoying, boring. I'm saying that you should not be understand. Like people should look at you and say, oh man, I cannot understand this guy. Like, why is he doing that? Why they should go through here, which is way more easier. They will earn more money. They will do more cool stuff. But here, it's such like a suffering path. Like, it's so full of suffering. Why are they doing that? I cannot understand them. So if our life is too similar to the world, if they can understand us, if we are understood by this error, means that we are not son or we are not children of God. Are you guys with me? Let us read this again. The reason why the world does not know us is because they do not know God. So in terms, like, John is also again saying, hey, you are not family with the world. Guys, you can love people. You can give your life to people. You can preach to people, but you can just be family with people that were born again. Are you guys with me? Are you happy still, yeah? And then he says that probably is one of my favorite verses in the scriptures. There's one song that I love. We need definitely to translate it. But then John says, beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Come on. Can I get some Pentecostal glory here? So understand that. Because again, Apostle John, he's not just preaching about what Jesus has done. He's not just preaching about like a present communion, but he's saying, again, set your eyes and your hope into the future because his appearance is near. Yeah. And he's saying, okay, I know that you sin. I know that you like fighting against sin. I know that you like, I don't know, shallow in your face, but do remember, like, remember inside of you, when he returns, you're going to see him. And like that, you're going to be like him. Wow. So the motivation for a life of purity begins with God and not with man. It is through contemplating the love of God that we are challenged to live in holiness. Because then John says, those who wait, those who love these days, actually really similar to what Paul teaches. Those guys, they live in holiness. Are you guys with me here? Everyone who does hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So guys, I want you now to really like have your attention on this, because we can actually do meetings together, we can do church, we can come Sunday service, we can reach out, we can evangelize, we can open business, we can write songs, whatever, we can do a bunch of things. But if we don't have this secure hope, we are done. I'm telling you, It's just a matter of time that you're going to have a burnout, even being a Christian, even praying in tongues every day. Because if we don't have like a solid goal, a solid hope, we are the only people in this universe that we do not have just like a solid like beginning, but we have a solid like end. We know where we're going. If you go right now into a different country and you ask them, what do you think about the future? I mean, they're going to answer you like the perspective they have about the government. They're going to, yeah, I mean, apparently we are running to like, I don't know, more to the right, like right way of thinking, maybe like economy is growing, something like. But if you go to like a son or daughter of God, they're going to say, I'm waiting for what God is going to do. I'm waiting for Jesus' return. Yes. I'm waiting for whatever, revival. I'm waiting for salvation. I'm waiting for this new like outpouring of the Spirit. So we are blessed people because we don't have only like a secure like way of living now. We don't have only peace in our hearts to just like, okay, I'm forgiven by God. But we have this solid hope about our future. So I don't know about you, but I am really, really excited for this. I am really like aiming and longing for that. I'm really like crying for that because I know that I want to be like him. I know deep in my bones that I need to be transformed like in his likeness. I want to experience that reality. And apparently John, he used to long for that as well. So, which is a really sad thing, because the returning of Jesus, or the second coming of Jesus, or if you like, the glorification of Christians, it's a not so important subject for now, for us now. We don't talk those things a lot. And actually, it's really weird when you walk into a church where the pastor is preaching about the second coming of Jesus, because we think, well, there's so much more that I should do. Well, how is it going for you? You're doing a lot? Because apparently John was waiting for this day. Apparently even Paul was waiting for this day. He was like, oh man, I wish I could go to Jesus now, he prayed. So imagine Paul writing Philippians chapter 3. He was like, he was old already. He was like a good like teacher, planted a bunch of church, and he was like, I actually have everything as a waste. No, he doesn't say, I wish I could spend. No, he say, I have everything as a waste.
Yes.
As a waste. Because the only thing I actually want is to know him. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. Some stuff. Together. The greatness of God's love is manifested in the redeeming work of the cross and the adoption of the Spirit and in the inheritance of the Father. God's love is unique, extreme, and all-powerful. Are you guys with me? And then we go to the glorification as well. John's thought, which was a pastor from London. He used to say, those two revelations, which means the day we're going to become like him and the day he's going to come again, those two revelations, they're gonna happen, but the scriptures, they are very careful to tell us which is the order of it, which means he's going to appear. And then we are changed by him. Which means that we're going to be changed by beholding his face. So that's actually a pattern when we look to the scriptures. That's a pattern when we think about being transformed by him, being changed by who you are, by who he is. So as I'm telling you guys often, and actually, Mark taught us that as well. until that day, we're going to struggle with sin. We're going to struggle with, like, I don't know, being a weak person or ups and downs in our emotions and everything, which I want to maybe talk about a bit. But there is this part in the scriptures that the apostles, they always teach us. They're like, behold him. Behold him. So it's amazing because Paul also teaches in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, for now, are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. For now, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then, pay attention. Now, we see dimly, like, but then, one day, we're going to see face to face. So imagine that. So we're gonna speak about the spirit. But imagine that. Right now you can see dimly, like you can experience some stuff. Imagine if that's dimly. Imagine like the full thing.
Yeah.
So one day we're gonna see face to face. Imagine that, because I'm very like, I'm not afraid of imagining things. Imagine like God's face, boom, and you like face to face to the one that created everything. Revelation says that the new city, we don't need even the sun, like the sunlight. We don't need it, because the Lamb itself, he's gonna be the light of the day. Imagine his glory is so like imminent. He's gonna be there, and then because he's there, we have light. We have day. And because he's there, we can see everything, just because his glory is so shineful. Now I know in part. So we know in part. But then I shall know just as I also am known. So imagine, you're going to know God the same amount that God knows you. If you don't have expectancy for the returning of Jesus, honestly, I don't know what you're doing. That's not just like a good story. It's really dangerous when we create Christians that they don't long for the returning of Jesus. Because it's just there's no end line. There's just no purpose. So then Paul says the really like famous sentence. He says, so now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And then we do tattoos of love, and then we say, we should love everybody. And then we hug people, we hug trees, we hug rocks, we hug everything, because we love people. But what actually Paul is teaching us here, or actually what John is teaching us, because like it's really connected, what they're teaching us, they're teaching this, like they're saying, okay, you need faith to be saved. You need hope to wait, but one day, you're going to be in love. You're going to abide in love forever and ever. So you should use your faith now, because one day you don't need it. Because faith is the faith, as Hebrews says, faith is the thing that we need to see things that are not possible to be seen now. So why do I need faith now? Because I need to see this God that it is impossible to see him. I mean, if you can see him now, maybe, I don't know, you're different. So we need faith to be saved. We need faith because it's not possible to be seen. And we need hope to be faithful and to keep walking in loyalty before God. But one day, and that's why the love is greater than all of those two, Because one day, and even now, we're going to just need love. Because we will not need faith, because we're going to see him. I don't need faith to see Bruna. She's right here. No, I don't need faith. So one day he's going to be like, boom, like, I don't need faith anymore. Just love, love, love. The revelation of God, the full revelation of who he is. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
So it's crazy because John is saying, right now, you are children of God, but one day, you're going to be something else. Like, of course, we're going to be children of God forever. But he's almost saying, like, you're going to have, like, an update, like a 2.0 version of you, like, which is not accurate, but I'm just joking. But now you're children of God. Now you, it's nice what you leave. You have this inheritance. But one day, you're going to experience the fulfillment of everything. But then, which is also important, then John says, but those, because it's amazing, because he's like, he's setting our eyes into the future, but then he like, almost like, pull us again, come back, right now. Because one thing is, could be really weird if we just talk about the future, and then suddenly, we live in like the woods, we just eat what we plant, which is could be good for some of us, and then we are the weirdest people on earth. So John kind of like pulls us. Let me talk about sin again. Those who walk with God or have the light of God inside of them, they don't sin. Which is like, but John, I remember you. You wrote in the chapter 2, like end of chapter 1, chapter 2, that if we sin, which means that we're going to sin, we have this lawyer. But then John says, those who have the Spirit of God, who have light of God, who are born again, who are loved by God, those who are children of God, they are not, they don't sin. Or better, he says, they don't walk in sin. They don't live sinning.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Are you guys happy still?
Yes.
He says, where is it? No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. So it's it's so strong because it's almost like if you don't feel that, I feel that still. It's like, am I saved? Because if you don't feel that, maybe, I don't know. But I do. I still do.
Yes.
It's like, do I walk in sin? Do I walk in darkness? Do I hide myself? Do I keep the people away from my witnesses? Because I'm telling you, like there's one antichrist doctrine which has been taught a lot in our days, which is you should prioritize your own life. Individuality is a blessing. No, it's not a blessing, guys. It's a disease. And then we live in sin thinking that we are living in privacy. Because I value my privacy, I don't tell people. Because that's my life. That's mine. Okay, it's yours. But those who are born again, they don't keep on sinning. So what's the... Guys, this is so This is so strong. It's so practical. One thing I have to tell you. Even though we as friends and pastors or disciples, whatever, we can look at you and I've done that loads of times. Look at someone and say, like, bro, I don't think you saved. Because there's a really easy question. I'm gonna do it right now. Are you ready for that? Okay, this is so, I'm nervous, I'm tense. Okay, easy question. If you die right now, boom, you're dead. Are you afraid? Are you afraid that you're going to hell? Because if you are, there's something wrong. Because those who walk in the perfect love, they don't have fear. Are you guys with me here? I know it's strong. I know it. So what John is actually saying, how can we actually like draw this line or this path where we can walk in security with God? First of all, I'm not saved by myself. Come on, guys. Are you? I'm not. I rest in God's power, because if it was about like me saving myself, that's it. I'm done. I cannot. So, Jesus, thank you for your work on the cross. Now I'm saved. I can walk in your love. I can walk in God's love because of the Spirit. I can walk in God's love because the Spirit lives inside of me. Hallelujah. Amen. So what is the in a real practical way, what is the difference between someone saved and someone not saved? Or better, children of God. Children of darkness. Basically, sin to the children of God, it's a thing that happens and it's confessed and healed. Sin in the children of darkness, it's a life, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Really practical again. If you have things that you fight against, understand what I'm saying. One thing is like, I have these weaknesses. Other thing is, I walk in the same sin during my whole journey with Christ. There's something really wrong. I'm not saying that you're not saved or you're not children of God, but definitely I'm saying that you walk in darkness. Because to hide sin, meant privacy, it's darkness. Are you guys with me here?
Yes.
Guys, I know it's a strong thing. I know it. That's why, I mean, we preach that just once in 7 years. It is really strong. Because John is saying, those who walk in sin, they're not children of God. We do not imitate God through mystical rituals, but through the practice of righteousness. God is righteous, and Jesus Christ is righteous. Whoever is born of God is righteous through the work of Christ. There's one thing, I wrote this, but I'm not finding it. But I remember, thank God. Which means, by the work, we know who's the Father. Which means, by the life you live, I can tell who your Father is. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
By the life we live, we can tell who is my Father. Is my Father the one big horns in that? Or is my Father God, the Almighty One? Because if I live in darkness, that's the good news. That's the good news. If I live in darkness, I have Jesus. Come to Jesus, John is saying. like run to him now. Guys, we are not what we speak about. We are not what we stand for. We are not what we, like, I don't know, pray for. We are what we do. Like, we are, in the basic, like, sense, we are what we obey. So, I love Jesus. I mean, Jesus loved me. Jesus saved me. Jesus gave his spirit to me. Now I have a fellowship with God. My desires are being changed. Now I look at him and I love him. And what should I do now? Obey. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Simple stuff. Obey. I love when Bonhoeffer says it. I've said that already. Faith and obedience, they walk together. They really walk together. Are you guys with me? So let us read verse 7 now. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Are you guys happy?
Yes.
I really thought that I would speak more about other stuff, but apparently, I don't know. It's funny because we have like PDF, like we write everything before coming, but it's also like it's always like that. As soon as I start to speak about, like the spirit, it's almost like, no, I want you to speak like that. And then like, I don't realize I'm speaking things, I'm talking about stuff that I was not even planning that. It's nice. Okay, so verse 7. Little children, do not let anyone deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. Look at this. It's so practical. Just as he is righteous, the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. To destroy the works of the devil. Everyone who is born of God does not practice sin, because his seed abides in him. I love it. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. By these, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor the one who does not love his brother. Are you guys with me? So, John starts to speak about this seed, about this new nature, or this small seed that which is inside of us and then changes everything we do. Are you guys really with me? Okay, I need you today, okay? So, understand that. So, basically, because as I said before, when we're reading 1 John, it's really easy to get into like this mindset that I need to do and then God loves me. I need to be morally good and then I'm a Christian. I need to like understand how to behave in a better way and then, but no, that's not what John is preaching. Because we need to understand that, like, we need actually to pay attention that every time that John requires something from you, he's already saying, but you are loved by God, and because the Son of God came to you, and because you are saved, and because you received eternal life. Are you guys with me? So the strength that it's required to, like, give back obedience doesn't come from me, actually. There's one thing that it actually makes me so happy, which means, the son of devil. But those who walk in purity or like in the light, whatever, I don't remember, they are the son of God. In righteousness, they are the son of God. And he says, but you guys, you don't love sin. You don't walk in sin because you have this seed. Say after me, this seed. This seed is the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that John taught us about in 1 John 2. The anointing. The anointing of the Holy One. Are you guys with me here? So there's this thing that happens with us when we become children of God. I am born again. The Spirit of God comes inside of PJ and inside of Ali and make me born again. Now I'm a new creation. Wow. But even that I'm a new creation, I cannot see like the whole picture because I'm just going to be exactly like he is the day he returns. But right now, we have what I call this glorious glimpse, which is God himself lives inside of me, and I have this holy seed inside of me that protects me, and not only protects me, but guide me in holiness. Yeah. Wow! Yeah. So what is to be filled with the Spirit? Could be gifts, could be charismatic manifestation, but first of all, to be filled with the Spirit is, I'm a son of God. I walk in holiness and righteousness. I love God's law. David used to say, I take pleasure in the law of God, in the law of the Lord. I love his commandments. When you have your desires being changed by God, guys, look at me. When you have your desires being changed by God, that's when you know that you feel of the Spirit. Yes. Well, I don't know. Like, one day I used to love sin. Honestly, I used to love sin. But now, it's disgusting. I hate it. Because there's this holy seed inside of me. The Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy One. The new nature. We have been renewed within by the new birth. Adoption by the Spirit. I do not walk in the present time as a mere spectator, passively waiting for the consummation of all things. But by the power of the new birth or new nature of like being born again, whatever, I can enjoy glimpses, glorious glimpses of the power and glory of the coming time. Likewise, by receiving these eternal seed within me, I will not be satisfied until I finally know him as he really is. And until I'm transformed into his image on the day of his glorious return. Therefore, the new nature is like a seal of guarantee. The Holy Spirit himself, which possesses us in the present as children of God and generate in us a longing for the day of the Lord. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
We need to work in this translation. So basically that's a quote from my book, Renew of the Mind. Amen. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Be free, Lucy. I'm joking. So what is to be children of God? What is to be accepted by God? Is to be loved by God. Is to be used by God. Is to be free from my sin. Is to be free of fear. Is to be free of like this pursuing of of I need to please everybody. Oh, it's to be free of competition. It's to be free of all those stuff. And how is it possible to actually live as a children of God? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. I'm telling you, if we forget the Spirit, we do not live according to son and daughters of God. Are you guys with me here? To be children of God, it's a place of rest. It's a place of confidence. It's a place of light. It's a place of communion. Those, I'm going to say it again. By your works, we know who you are son of or daughter of. How can we walk in holiness? By the Spirit. We cannot walk in holiness by ourselves, by our own like capability of own strength. We cannot do it. Verse 11. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Oh man, let's stop right here. John is saying Cain was evil because he saw that his brothers' like deeds or his brothers' like offerings were righteous, and he was like competing with his brother. He was an orphan. Cain was an orphan. You can be an orphan inside of God, the Father house. You can walk as an orphan even if your parents are alive. You can walk as an orphan even if you're born again, if you're a Christian for a lifetime. If we still compare ourselves, if we still fight for position, if we still want to prove our holiness, if we still feel that we are not worthy of things, if we still want to like, I don't know, fight for like titles and things like that, we are orphans inside of the Father's house. Because God the Father walks in light. God the Father walks in holiness. God the Father walks in righteousness. So if we compete, if we are not satisfied in His love, are we sons and daughters of God? Are we experience the life of God inside of us? Are we experience the Spirit inside of us? Or are we just pretending to be good Christians? It's really powerful. Let's just keep reading it. Brothers, do not be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life. Look at this. We have passed from death to life. Because we love the brothers. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother. Oh my gosh, I lost it. Sorry, guys. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. By these we know, love, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but indeed, And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Because we keep His commandments and do the things that we are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He's commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments remains in Him, and He in Him. And by these we know that He remains in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. Amen. Amen. So now John is saying, if you know who are the children of God, by those who walk in darkness or light, there's another thing that you can actually know as well, if they are children of God or not. Love. If they love each other, if they love, like, if they walk in love, they are children of God. They are children of light. The word of God is in them. But one thing we need to understand, John Stott, quoting Lewis, says that loving everyone, are you guys with me?
Yes.
Loving everyone in general can be an excuse for not loving anyone in particular. What is to love each other? I mean, look at me. I do believe in evangelize and reaching out people on the streets, which sometimes living in Europe or UK, we forget to do because, I mean, there's so little in numbers, like people on the streets, like and like homeless or things like that. But in like in a place like Brazil or South America, so church do that a lot, like social work. So we go and we love someone and we give like food to someone, or maybe we can or my new generation is much more like supernatural stuff. So you see someone walking like this, and then you come and heal the knee. Oh, boom! Oh, I love. That's my job. I love the world. Yeah? Do you? Okay. Where's your church? Okay. Who do you love always? Because I'm telling you, I've done both things. It's way more easier to love someone that I don't know. It's just like way more easier. And if you don't believe me, just trust John Stott or Lewis. I don't know. I think they're holy men. Loving everybody means that you do not love anyone, actually. And actually, John, when he says, do not love as Cain. I love, man. I love because there's this question that God, I love when John says that, because there's this question that God does for Cain when he kills his brother. He says, God comes to Cain and said, hey, where is your brother? And the answer is, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? The answer is, yes, you are. You are. You are your brother's keeper. That's love. So John actually teaches like to be aware of someone's need and help that person. To be like, if you have money and you don't help someone, you don't walk in love. John just said that. But Like, he start everything using Cain. Like, do not love each other as Cain loved his brother. In terms of like, why are you so willing of doing things just to show people that you're good? And by that, we need to remember ourselves what Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians. He says, even if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resound gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gifts of prophecy and I can and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Which is amazing to think, because actually Paul has done all those stuff. He died, he was lamed, he was beaten, he suffered everything. But he says, if we do not have love, I mean, it's just nothing. So, what is to be children of God? Apart from having God's character, apart of having God's dreams and having God's purpose in our life. To be children of God is to walk in the light of communion and have every single area of your lives exposed to this communion. As I said before, our works, they show us who is our Father, in whom we put our trust, in whom we put our faith. Are we son of darkness or are we son of light? If we are son of darkness, it's just an easy path. Confess your sins and be forgiven. It's so old-fashioned to preach about sin today. It's almost like I saw this meme a pastor friend of mine sent to me, which is like a young guy. He comes into a store and says to like a preacher, this preacher is holding the Bible, and then this young guy just comes to the preacher and says, well, I just want to buy John 3:16, the rest of it you can keep. It's like, I just want to buy the part that God saves me. The rest of it, you can keep for yourself. So we our generation is doing that a lot. I mean, just give me John 3:16 and the rest of it, you just keep with you. It's really like, it's funny, because when we speak about sin, when we speak about darkness, there's always like, especially in evangelical church, there's always this like, who has sinned? Because why the pastor is talking about sin? What we have done with the church, honestly. It's like, when we talk about offerings, we also think, is the pastor needing money? When we talk about worship, we think, oh, do we need to be more intense? The way we receive the word is always like, it's always like in a very human way, like looking into our church and like trying to find the gap or what is lacking in it. But we need to understand that John was preaching that to a whole community, people that were disciples of John. Old Christians, new Christians, newborn Christians. What should we preach to pastors? Because if we believe that church is just about growing in the ministry into the day we have titles, what should we preach to pastors? I mean, they're already God, right? They're already like demigods. They're already like super spiritual. What is the kind of run that we are proposing to people? What is the kind of journey that we are proposing to people? What is the kind of journey that we are proposing to ourselves? I tell you again, without no fear, because I think I have Apostle John and Paul to protect me on that. I mean, I don't think God's priority is to make you someone that we're gonna save 1,000,000,000 souls. I think God's priority is to make you like holy. Friend of God, son and daughter of God. So I really feel that the Spirit of God wants to rest upon us today. Not only with power, could be, I mean, it's always with power, but with this sonship, like with this understanding that I'm son of God, I'm daughter of God. That means that the character of God should be seen in me. I want to walk in the character of God. Honestly, you would be surprised. If we like put a spotlight inside of your heart, most of the things that we do wrong is just because we're insecure. We're so insecure about ourselves. We are always trying to prove our spirituality or our gifts or, I don't know, prove everything. That's why, like in my life at least, that's why Instagram is such a bad thing for me. I was telling that Lais, because I'm such an orphan. Every time I open Instagram, I'm comparing myself, like that. That's why I've changed completely like my routine with Instagram. And people say, no, I need my Instagram to work. Liar, you don't need it. I mean, I have almost 1,000,000 followers. You don't need your Instagram to work. You can just give to someone else. That person will post every single video that you record. We need that to to feed our insecure souls. That's why we need that. And I mean, I'm talking about my struggle. Maybe you don't struggle with that, but you do struggle with others' insecurities. And we do stuff or we do not do some stuff because we don't feel that loved. You know, the way, like, the best, like, are you guys with me? The best way of experiencing deep relationship with your brothers and sisters is to be satisfied in God's love for you. Because this guy here, this guy here, he's gonna, like, disappoint me, and I'm going to disappoint him. And actually, if I come to Ali waiting for him to fulfill my gaps or my lacking parts, I'm putting already the pressure upon him that he cannot, I mean, he's going to crash. Is that making sense? But if I come to Ali like, God, I want to be satisfied in you through Ali. Then all the pressure is in God, not in Ali, on Ali. So God uses Ali to shape Jesus like inside of me. Is that making sense? Even when he disappoints me. It's amazing because I think later on in chapter 4, John's going to say, Romans 10 says it. How could people believe in God if no one preached about God? Are you guys with me? So if we take that like way of thinking, like, how can we people believe in God if no one preaches about God? Is that making sense? So how can people believe in Father God if no one shows them Father's love? Let's keep like digging into that. How can people feel forgiven by God if they don't feel forgiven by us? How can people feel family of God if they don't feel family of nobody? Is that making sense to you? So, in a point of your life, in a season of your life, you need someone showing you God, Father's love, which we call fatherhood, which is, I mean, amazing. But the fountain of it, the very source of everything, is God's love for me. I'm not trying to be satisfied in him or her. We are trying to be satisfied in God together, which is a relational God, not alone God. Isn't that great that God is not in his throne right now, on his throne right now, alone? He could be, but he's not. He's like, he's enjoying the company of angels, creatures, himself. He's like, oh, holy communion. Amen. Can we stand up together?